right behind you.
Perfect.
Is Mark Wahlberg too hot?
Okay,
I think so.
We'll start.
Hi, I'm Avital Ash.
I'm Jessica Richards.
And this is...
He's Right Behind You.
Ah!
Nice.
Today, we have our significant others on the podcast.
Yeah, we have our Valentine.
That's right. Happy February month.
See?
Yes,
in Spanish.
Oh. Am I peaking?
No,
Does
are you?
Does that sound peaking to you?
I think you're good.
Okay. All right.
Now I feel like you're more self-conscious
because
someone
am.
Else can hear it.
I really am. I'm like, the rest of the time, I'm like, this doesn't sound great to me, but nobody else can tell. And I can fix it in post, but now I feel judged by the Mr. Podcast himself.
That's me, Mr. Podcast, Amir Blumenfeld here.
And on the other side of the room, we have...
A guy that doesn't podcast, Brad Allen.
Hey, Brad. Hi, Amir.
Hello.
Welcome to the pod.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, Brad has been mentioned numerous times.
That's right. And this is his He's Right Behind You debut.
Right.
Yes.
Wow.
What can Huge. We know about you? What do you want people to know?
I got in because I have a connection.
Oh, wow. Nepotism.
Yes.
Yes.
Jessica Richards is my wife.
Uh-huh.
And
I know her.
Yeah, me too.
Cool.
What do you want to know about me?
Well, I guess anything that you want an audience to know.
Oh.
Like, now they know that you're a husband.
Yes.
You also are a proud father of two dogs.
Yes.
Is there anything else you want them to know, either occupationally, or you can be like, no, they don't need to know anything about me. That's fine,
no,
too.
No, let's. I like to keep it
anonymous.
Mysterious.
Anonymous, yeah. That's I want to cool. be the Mark Wahlberg of this podcast.
Whoa,
okay,
yeah.
Great. Yeah, he has no social media presence. So.
That's
yeah.
great. So we won't even ask you at the end.
Yeah, you'll have to discover as we go through that some of the things
that
I said
is a psychopath.
Was a lie.
An orphan, yeah. bounced from home to
yeah.
home.
Yeah.
Not to, no disrespect to orphans. It was just calling out this movie. Yeah. Well, we have some questions for you that are stock questions that we won't ask Amir because we don't give a shit what his answers are.
Also, we've asked him.
Yeah. We've had him
go
on
back
a few
to
times.
Funny Games to find out his answers.
That's right.
Another or, home invasion movie.
Yeah. I was thinking, is this really going to get to Avital because it's home invasion?
Yeah, well,
with a lot
it.
Of invaders.
There are. It's scary. But it's.
We'll get there.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Amir's already a veteran, so we'll ask you our standard questions. But first, I want to know, because we've had Jessica talk about your agreement that if she says a place is haunted when you move in, it's haunted and you leave. And it right. has happened, and you've done just that. So I want to hear the account from your side. I'm sure Amir will have questions, too.
There was, I assume that this is the Glendale apartment.
Yeah,
have
we
there
lived
been
in...
multiple?
No. We no. lived in Glendale for 1 week, and we fled.
All right, cool.
Yeah. We went there because it was a middle-of-the-road place that we weren't really happy about, but not unhappy about. And we got there. And
passable.
Yeah. The place that we're in now accepted us after we had to move. And so we had to move to this place. And they had.
And when you say we had to move, you mean because it was haunted?
No, we had
no,
to.
No,
our
moved.
Place, we
oh,
had
oh,
like
before.
A hard out of our,
I see, I see.
The apartment
okay.
that
yeah.
we really liked.
Okay, got it.
They raised our rates. And then Brad did his thing where he's like, I'll negotiate. And he comes back and goes, it didn't go well.
No.
They actually added to what they had said. And I was
yes.
like, God damn it.
You negotiated
I started throwing out numbers
yourself.
And they're like, oh, those numbers are low, actually. Let's we,
well,
we
he,
need to bump
he
those
made
up.
Them realize that they undercharged us for parking. And he was like, so now it's going to be an actual $80 more? And I was like, damn it.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So we, okay.
so
we had to move out of that place. That was our date to move was... past we had to move out, we had to move to this other place that we were okay with.
You find this middling place in Glendale.
Yeah
we couldn't agree on a place that we like, so then we found a place that we're both like meh about.
Yeah,
let's both be unhappy. Great.
So we showed up and it was just everything was a little off.
You felt it too.
Oh yeah, place was all, you know, like there was a huge gap under the door so that you could literally almost stick your full hand
wow
outside of the front door. You know, underneath.
Yeah, like a stranger could just reach underneath.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And do what? I don't know.
But
no,
still,
probably nothing. But I was thinking more of like bugs
yeah.
could come
just
in.
Just a wave, I guess.
Like
I
a bug door.
There's a huge, you know, crack in the countertop that they were just like, ah, we thought you'd like it, you know.
We called and we're like, hey, there's a dent in our counter. And they go, yeah, we know. But we thought if they're happy with it, we don't want to fix it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
It was just bad energy.
Yeah.
Right. She had bad vibes about the whole place, and...
Well, I burst into tears the first time we went in.
Yeah.
When you were going in to check it out, or when
no,
you
No, we didn't
there?
Get to check it out, because it was lived in. Oh. So yeah. we got it, we saw another unit.
I see. So it was this specific unit, not the whole building.
Right. And then when we went into this unit, they were like, here are your keys. Here's the place. I walked in and burst into tears and was like, we have to leave.
And it wasn't because you just didn't like it.
It was just, I got emotional. There was like so many, it was bad energy. It just triggered me.
Yeah.
And then you started having bad dreams. And
I did have bad dreams, yes.
Yep.
And I mean, I have bad dreams anyway, but.
We never really unpacked anything. Then we got accepted to the place we're at now, and she was like, let's go. And I was like, sure.
Brad is a very, like, even keel guy.
Yeah. He makes it sound much more normal than
like
it did in my mind.
Like it wasn't possessed or something.
Yeah.
I freaked out, and Brad wasn't really excited about the apartment, so his attitude was, if you can find a way out, I'll move. Like, so he let me take the reins. But I feel like a lot of spouses might have been like,
we already moved.
Yeah, I'm not moving again.
Yeah.
Like, you just have to deal with it.
That's the Brad difference.
That is.
The Brad vantage.
I also think he's smart enough to know that it would not have been fun to live with me there.
That is
correct. Because I was already, like, bursting into tears.
That is correct.
All right. This all makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Okay, I buy it.
It was immediately better after we moved.
Yeah. Into our nice apartment that we've lived in for 8 years.
Yeah, it is very nice.
Thank you.
And the dogs are happy there. And
it's
it doesn't
very
seem
warm.
To be possessed.
No, not yet.
Yeah. Well, we did have an incident with the lights once.
Oh.
Yeah, where the lights in the living room were on when we both had turned them off. And I woke up in the middle of the night and I like snapped awake and was like, something was wrong. And
oh,
I was like,
God.
It's the lights.
Oh my
and
God.
He was not concerned.
He doesn't look concerned right now.
That's when I was like, if there was someone in the house, I'd be the one that has to handle it. Because Brad would just be like, I'm sure it's fine.
Right. I'm sure it's nothing.
I would have just stayed in bed sleeping soundly.
That reminds me, and we'll get to it, but that trope in horror movies where someone's convinced that something's wrong and no one believes them, and it's usually a girl. And in Fear, it's actually the dad who's like, something is wrong.
That's
and people
true.
Don't believe
him.
And I think that's really fun. And we'll get into detail. But what is your relationship with horror?
Well, you know, I've always enjoyed it. I mean, I remember as a kid watching, it was more TV stuff like Tales from the Dark Side, the Tales from the Crypt, lots of tales.
from
gory
various
tales.
Places.
Yeah. The movie that probably has stuck with me as a kid, you know, that I saw as a kid, in a way that I wouldn't say that it's a horror movie. And most people have not heard of this movie.
Oh, no, I know what he's going to say.
Yes. It's called The Peanut Butter Solution.
Oh.
Which came up once on the podcast,
yeah, somebody
but
else
I don't remember
about
who it was
how
early
scary
on.
It was.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's
but
something
you're not
that,
the only one who feels this way.
No. As a kid, that is
a
creepy movie.
Oh, I think you're right.
It's all about, like, I think it's a Canadian movie. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where – my parents taped it.
Yeah.
You know, it was a VHS that we watched numerous times.
Are you Canadian?
I am not Canadian.
But you
from
could,
Texas.
Yeah, but you exude a little bit of Canadian energy.
I can see that.
Right,
yeah.
He's very polite.
Yeah, very polite.
Yeah.
Very and nice, obviously.
Occasionally he says A.
Yeah.
Peanut Butter Solution, we got to watch at some point. It seems like everybody saw this as a kid and was sort of scarred for life.
Yeah, it's not, like I said, I don't know if I would categorize it as a horror movie.
Yeah.
But it's so weird in many ways that it leaves you with a weird, you feel off afterwards and you're just, I don't understand what life is at that point.
Right.
Yeah, it's about this, you know, kid who sees some ghosts, gets scared, loses his hair, and then finds a guy who has a magical, there's a peanut butter solution that he gets and he puts this solution together. And he puts it on his head.
He starts growing hair.
And it starts growing hair.
I'm remembering this.
And it won't stop growing. And then some horrible guy takes him, kidnaps him, and uses his hair, cuts it all off, and uses it to make magical paintbrushes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It sounds like, I mean, I don't know if we consider Return to Oz a horror, but it's something that I like. I didn't even realize what movie it was until maybe 5-6 years ago, but something where I remember like a scene vividly being a kid and being terrified. And I haven't seen it as an adult. I don't know if that counts as a horror.
Yeah, your thing sounds like a dream that someone is telling where it's like, oh, and then I couldn't stop growing hair. And
right.
then they this guy turned it into like paintbrushes. Where
but scary dreams
like,
are the scariest.
As you're saying it, I'm like, ugh, you're losing me.
Yeah.
Like, it's like I'm listening to somebody's dream. I, by the way, never want to hear people's dreams.
Yeah.
It'll never be interesting. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, it's.
You're like, and it then, didn't happen.
Yeah, so. And then reality changed and you're like.
Because there are no rules.
Yeah.
It's kind of like why you probably don't like superhero movies.
I don't like superhero movies.
Same reason. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, anything can happen. Yeah, let me guess. He gets a bigger laser, and then he gets a giant shield, and it blows up the Earth. Whatever.
And then they're both cartoons by the end.
We're doing It Follows on Sunday, and I haven't seen it since the theaters. I'm rewatching it now.
I'm scared to watch that one.
But I feel like what stuck with me and what why I don't like it is that there's no rules. The rules don't make sense of the universe. But I'll rewatch it and see. I also need some rules. I need some structure. That said, do you like the feeling of being scared when you are scared? Like, as you were watching this and terrified, was that exhilarating? Was that awful?
I like it. You know, I think it's always something that if it makes you feel something weird and if it scares you, if it gives you that emotion, then it's done its job.
All right.
And that's what you're there for.
Brad's not scared of anything. Like, this is where upsetting for me is I'm scared of literally everything.
Right.
And Brad is scared of almost nothing.
What's the almost?
Well, when we first met, I'm going to tell this.
Oh, thanks.
When we first met, I was explaining that I was scared of spiders, and he literally picked up like a huge spider. We were out filming in Texas. Just picked it up and moved it, and I was shocked.
I would be too.
Yeah, because why? Yeah. And he goes, I'm not scared of anything except for being hurt emotionally. Baby 25-year-old Brad.
Oh, my gosh. You knew who you were even then.
Yeah. That hurt me emotionally a little bit right there. Yeah.
And do you think that that is the only thing that really scares you?
Or was that a joke and that doesn't even scare you?
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
What? We're all talking about it.
I don't think it seemed like a joke.
I thought it was just being
just because you
facetious.
Can admit to having feelings doesn't mean no man can.
Well, it's definitely like a line.
But that's also a different fear.
It's also like a pickup line.
Yeah.
Right.
You're not like, oh, I was just sorry. I thought you were going to scare me emotionally.
Right, that's true.
No, although I don't think you're really scared of stuff.
I'm cautious about a lot of things.
Yeah.
But
do you remember the last time you went,
startled?
Yeah.
Oh, he's more scared about, I was going to say, he really freaks out when I get stuff out of the toaster.
Yeah, she uses, when it's plugged in and still on, she uses a knife.
I will use a fork or a knife to get a piece of toast out. She sticks it in there.
He's not scared. He's concerned for your well-being, your safety.
Brad is always yelling at me.
He thinks I'm going to get electrocuted.
He gets scared when I take a bath with a toaster oven.
But that is when you said, like, that sound. He makes that sound when I do that.
Oh, that's cute.
And I'm always like, I'm fine.
Amir and I both, okay, this makes me crazy because my whole life, anytime I've dropped something or I'm about to drop something, I'll go, and then people will go, what? And I'm like, oh, nothing. And it's such an extreme reaction. So people make fun of me. I'm like, oh, I just dropped my phone. They're like, you scared the shit out of me. Cut to, I meet Amir. He does it too. Nobody's ever made fun of him for it. It's shocking because I've never seen somebody else do it. Yeah. And he does it all the time. And I'm like, this is, yeah. Right.
Just like dropping a pen.
Yeah.
It's almost like a nothing. Comedic instinct.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess because dudes are kind of cool about that kind of shit. Whereas like chicks are like.
Sorry, what's cool about you dropping a pen and gasping as if you almost cut off a limb?
Because I feel like when girls do it, it's charming.
Cool. We're not going to call them out for it.
Brad's wearing a leather jacket. He is Canadian.
Amir, what are you afraid of?
Mice.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Not even a beat.
Yeah. Because when you guys were talking about it, I'm like, nothing really startles me except one time there was a mice in my apartment in New York.
Mice plural or one single mouse?
I only saw one, but it like scurried and I was like, oh my God, like terrified, like heart palpitating.
It scurried like it was meeting somebody?
Yeah. It was in a scurry. It had a little briefcase. Late. Yeah.
Is it mice out in the wild or if they're captive in a box? Are
I think
okay
they're
with
in my
them?
In my apartment. Like when
it's
you're
also home invasion when you think about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. When you're walking in New York, I saw rats a bunch. I'm like, yeah, they're in a pile of trash. But like just seeing one scurry through like behind my refrigerator in my apartment, I'm like, I don't know what how to handle myself. Do I have to put on shoes? Can I go to the refrigerator?
Like Jessica, I feel like I'm scared of everything, but in that situation, I'd be like, let's give it cheese.
Me too. Isn't that funny? I would, if there was like a little mouse, I mean, I'd be scared for the dogs.
Yeah.
I feel like I'd be more scared of like, I hope it doesn't have rabies.
For yeah. The dog. Yeah, that's true.
It's just a bad sign when there's a mouse in your apartment. You're like, this is.
It's true. It's a bad sign, but they are so cute. We also had a pet growing up. Naftali had a, when my baby brother was like really young, his name is Naftali, and he got a pet rat and named it Naftali.
Named it after himself?
Yes. I mean, I think he was like 5.
That's very Gilmore Girls.
It is. I get that reference now. Yeah. So wait, do you have a mice of your own, Brad? Are we settling on something aside from emotional pain?
Yeah, I think.
Startling bats. Some people are scared of bats. Flying.
Right.
Scuba.
You're just going to guess
you
for
know,
him?
I've had bad experiences. I wouldn't say that I'm afraid of them, but I've had bad experiences with cockroaches.
Oh, yeah.
Those are another startling thing.
I had one crawl up my shirt during in class as a kid. And I didn't know what it was at first.
This was in Edmonton? Where was this? Alberta?
Yes. Toronto. So it was very cold. They were looking for someplace warm.
Your armpit.
Yeah. And I was okay with it at first. And then I was like, perhaps not, you know.
You're like, I'm a taken man.
Yeah. Yeah. I had one. I used to, as a kid, just as I was getting ready in the morning, I would get my hair wet and I would stick my head like in the sink. And I had twice. A cockroach come out from the faucet onto my head.
I'm with you. I'm not scared of mice, but cockroaches. And I've also had plenty of bad experiences. There was a time I grew up in Miami. There was a time I was walking towards the beach and one just like ran over my foot. Mm. And then there was a time in LA early on in my career here where I was like, I walked under a tree and something fell on my shoulder and I looked and it was a cockroach just sitting on my shoulder. And I screamed. I remember everybody turned and stared at me. And then I really don't like to kill things. So in my apartment, I'd see a cockroach and be like, you better be gone when I get back. And then there'd be 100 more. and then
killing
I
cockroaches is like the worst.
Oh, my God. It's awful. And I always go, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. As I like smash it. Because you have to. I think this is a crazy horror movie idea. There was a time where an exterminator finally came because the cockroach problem got so bad because I didn't kill them. And they use this sort of like glue that the cockroaches eat. And what it does is it makes them cannibalistic. And then they start eating each other. And then eventually they all die.
Whoa. Mm. That's pretty cool.
How horrifying is that visual?
That'd be cool if there was a human equivalent.
Yeah. That's your movie. Horror movie. Yeah. Copyrighted. I'm taking two from Jessica. Just say copyright.
Trademark.
Over and over.
It's trademark.
That's mine. Don't take it. We'll point to this podcast and call you a thief.
Well, and I picked this movie. Which was exciting.
I
picked this movie today. Because I absolutely love this movie. So I forced it onto Brad for his first time on our podcast.
This is Fear 1996. Amir had never seen it.
I am shocked that you had never seen this.
Never seen it.
Did it change your life?
It was fun.
You said you liked it afterward.
Yeah, I liked it. It was entertaining throughout. Mark Wahlberg was great. Reese was great.
He actually said, Amir at one point was like, do you think Alicia Silverstone was considered for this role? And I said, I don't know, but I know Reese Witherspoon was considered for the Alicia Silverstone role in The Crush. And they're very similar movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think this one is better.
I think so, too.
Because I think it also has, like, it just feels more, there's more issues in it, I feel
like. I think this one's better, but they are very similar.
They cram a lot in. And the story never went the exact way I thought. So I was like, oh, this is weird. Oh, whoa, what the hell? Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
The dad kind of looks like Brad. And I mean it as a compliment. I think he's a good looking dad.
Oh, William Peterson?
He reminded me of Brad.
That's right.
There you go. Especially the temper, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, not compared to Wahlberg's. His temper seemed fine.
His was consistent.
Oh, the dad's?
No.
Oh, Wahlberg's. Yeah. It was more predictable.
Yeah. William Peterson sort of would come out of nowhere with anger.
Right.
Which,
rage.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's almost scary in a way because you don't know.
I was kind of like, I see why she likes Mark Wahlberg.
I wrote that down too. There was a moment where the dad hits the cabinet and I was like, this is foreshadowing her attraction towards violent men.
Yeah. So I grew up watching this.
Healthy.
This was like a real formative movie for me. I started watching this like in fifth or sixth grade after my parents got divorced and I had no supervision.
Great.
And it was the first time that I ever learned what fingering was. And
it might be the first time I learned, but I'm not sure.
But it was it's the first time really I can think of as a kid watching a movie where the woman gets sexual pleasure and we don't see her return it to the man.
Yeah.
And it's like all on her. It's all her choice.
You think they shot that on an actual roller coaster?
Yes.
I think they had to, yeah.
It was like very like physical.
It must have. I was thinking about how, you know, for multiple takes, they must have been so dizzy, but especially the camera guys because there's shots of like the actual movement that's not of the actors.
Oh,
so that's an additional ride where they're just like on the roller coaster filming, unless they affixed the cameras to the seats or something.
I would think they did that.
Mostly.
Maybe.
Most likely that, probably.
But then you'd be scared that it would
probably not some guy just hand-holding a camera.
That's what I imagine.
Hope it don't drop it. Yeah.
Wahlberg, you shoot Reese, and then we'll switch it up on the other way around. Remember, you're getting fingered, so action.
It looks so fun, I do want to say. Like, being fingered on a roller coaster while listening to a cover
while
of
being
Wild
17.
Horses.
Yeah.
Yes.
I gotta say, like, at
what
a certain
a
point, he probably doesn't have to do much work. The roller coaster's doing
right.
a lot of the work for him.
It looks so
lifting.
Fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like people talk about how women can achieve orgasm sitting on a washing machine. I'm like, this is that to the nth degree.
Oh, yeah.
It seems so fun.
It's funny. Yeah. I tried masturbating on the Matterhorn, and it just didn't take. I think it helps when someone else is getting you off.
Oh.
What were you saying about the dad
Who
character?
Who was jerking you off on the Matterhorn?
No, I was masturbating on the
oh,
Matterhorn.
Right. Okay,
yeah, yeah.
That makes sense.
And then the haunted house, which was plain light, not even a ride.
So what was sexy to you about the haunted house?
Nothing. I guess just getting caught was exciting or something like that.
I learned
I'm also
the word...
never allowed back to Disneyland, but unrelated to that.
Oh, Amir doesn't want to go to Disneyland, and I thought
oh,
that
I'm
was
on
just...
board with that. I don't want to go to Disneyland.
But I didn't think it was because you were banned.
Yeah. Not even Lifetime either, just a five-year thing.
That seems weird.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you Banksy?
Banksy, that's right.
That was your installation? That's an exit to the gift shop joke.
Very nice. I learned the word coot.
Oh, I love the word copacetic when the guy's like, everything's copacetic.
Who says?
Gary.
Oh, yeah. Gary's
okay.
hot.
Yeah. There was. I wrote in my notes. I was like, "Poor Gary, he'd be such a good boyfriend."
I know.
When
Do you
he's
think
like,
in love with her the whole time.
He's like
yes.
Toby Bear. Yeah. He's got like a nickname for the brother. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
And he like leans over the car, and I was like, "He would have been the perfect choice."
Why doesn't she see what's right in front of her?
Because she's got such a shitty relationship with her dad.
Yeah.
It's like the can't hardly not kind of relate. Can't buy me love style mm-hmm. best friend obsessed with a hot girl who's into somebody else.
Yeah, we don't really get his story.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't, to me, doesn't seem like he's in love with her, but you disagree.
Oh, no, he is definitely.
I think he's
Nobody's
in love with
her. Nobody's just friends with Reese Witherspoon and, like, defends her honor. They should have chosen an actor that looked a little less like Mark Wahlberg, I would say. Because, like, when they were standing next to each other, I'm like, this is Mark Wahlberg and an ugly version of Mark Wahlberg.
An ugly version? I think he's hotter than Mark Wahlberg.
Wow, that is a hot take. That's not true, but that's interesting to say that.
Nope, I feel it.
I would say he's attractive, but nobody's hotter than Mark Wahlberg.
Nobody's
in this film.
Hotter than in this film. Yeah. No, I think
this is like he just he took off the Calvin Klein.
And when he takes
and
the
like,
shirt off and he's fucking
in this
ripped.
Movie.
Yeah.
And yet Alyssa Milano is going after the other guy.
I know. What
Why?
Is happening?
Oh my God.
The
I mean,
women
Gary
in this
looks
movie.
Great compared to that other guy.
The fucking
Logan.
Greasy ass goatee
what
musician.
Is she also has daddy issues. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, her whole storyline should be its own movie.
Yeah.
You were saying when she was getting accused of ruining Reese Witherspoon's relationship that she should have been mad at Reese Witherspoon who saw her about to get raped and didn't do anything
Yeah,
about
I was
it.
So yeah. mad at her in that moment. I was like, go help your friend. And then she's mad at her friend. I was horrified for so
it's
much
of a little
of
bit
the,
of
like,
revenge for the rooftop, though.
Yeah, she was a shitty friend at the rooftop, but not that level.
I don't know. She just let Reese Witherspoon go off with some guy she didn't know.
Yeah, but she was also just going off with some guy.
Ugh.
Because that's, like, normal at the time.
This movie, I think, is such a good movie to watch when you're a young girl because it has so many lessons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of, like, hey, don't go to raves and leave your friend unattended.
However, one lesson it does not include is after you've yelled at your friend for cheating with your boyfriend when she's been raped, apologize and be like, I'm so sorry. I didn't believe you.
We're back at even, I hope.
Yeah. I think that this was just a time when it, time, all the way back in 96,
yeah.
but where, like, it just wasn't discussed as much.
I know, and you really feel it watching it now. It's so painful.
And I think you feel, too, that Reese Witherspoon doesn't really understand that it's rape.
Yeah.
And then, but she does welcome her back in at the end.
I know, but she owes her an apology, too. That's the thing I'm most heated about in this movie.
Well, and I think Alyssa owes her an apology. I think they all need therapy in this movie. They all have horrible parents.
Can I just say that the women in this movie are so hot between Alyssa Milano, Reese Witherspoon, and Amy Brenneman. I'm like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
They're all so good looking.
And they all seem roughly the same age.
Yeah.
Like, this stepmom is kind of like, 28? And the kids are like 22, it seemed like to me.
Yeah. And they're sort of playing with it because there's some sort of flirtation between
Amy
Brenneman.
She is definitely flirting with Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't?
Oh, 100%. But then that storyline... There's a scene where it seems like Alyssa Milano is also flirting with Dad Brad. And
that was like a weird little
That scene,
Billy Idol moment,
makes me want to throw up.
Why Billy Idol?
There's like, is it Billy Idol? Yeah, the music video where like the teenage girl comes over and the guy's like, "Oh, I'm trying to work, but yeah, you can do your laundry." And then like the girl's all like hitting on the guy, and he's like, "Oh, this is like way too sexy for me." It felt like that in this movie where like Alyssa Milano's like bending over in front of this like architect who has like wireframe glasses,
who then
can't contain himself, moves
his hand over his penis.
Oh, really?
To like hide a boner.
That was such a horny moment, and they never really went back to that.
Yeah, it was so horny.
No, I think it's just to establish that Mark Wahlberg got his number.
Got his number.
Because Mark Wahlberg watches it. He watches the dad see that, and then he looks. He makes sure that like the dad knows, "I saw you."
But he didn't do anything.
Mark Wahlberg?
The dad. Well, both of them. I mean, the dad just like a girl's being hot in front of him, and he witnessed it.
Yeah, and maybe Alyssa Milano likes it.
Yeah, but he like leans up to see more.
And Alyssa Milano's like flirting with him, right?
She's a child who is like all about wanting to be in Playboy, and like her mom is clearly using her body to get money and wealth and all that stuff, and so that's her role model.
Interesting.
Yeah,
because she's going out to somewhere with some guy with a lot of money.
That's right, San Francisco.
I love that line. It's like
some old coot. That's where I learned the word coot. That's what they call it.
It all comes back. But I love that because it's like one line, just one little thing that you're like, okay, I get Alyssa Milano for the rest of this movie. It all makes
sense. Which line?
When the mom's like, okay, there's money, like, I'll be back or whatever. And she's like, ugh, another guy.
Yeah, she says she's going to see some old coot in San Francisco with a pot belly and a lot of dough.
Yeah, and Papa I get the John. Rabbit. I get the car.
Right, right.
So it's, you know exactly, like, what Alyssa Milano's life is like. Mm-hmm. Not great.
Not great. She's so pretty, though. I'll take your shitty life to look like you, Alyssa Milano.
Well, yeah, that's one of your early crushes.
I'm shallow.
Sure. I think she was a lot of guys' early crushes.
Yeah.
From Who's the Boss.
Yeah.
A lot of guys' and girls' early crushes. I remember being young, during Who's the Boss era, simultaneously sort of like wanting to be her, but also wanting to have her. It's like a confusing feeling.
Girls want to be her, and guys want to be her, too.
Well, when they do split up at this rave, her friend goes off with this guy that all of us are confused. They make eyes at the pool hall.
Yes. And the pool hall, well, it's like the coolest coffee.
Yeah.
They're going to a coffee shop. They're sneaking off campus to go to a coffee shop.
Ordering a sandwich.
Like,
at
the
this,
busiest
like,
coffee shop I've ever seen.
Yes. That looked like a live concert and you're ordering a sandwich.
Well, Alyssa Milano is ordering chocolate cake because that's like the sexiest thing she can think of. As she's like smoking, she's like, oh, a piece of chocolate cake.
Yeah. Like,
I love her. But
a cherry pie.
Reese Witherspoon doesn't want to go. She's like, we're going to be late. We're not staying. We got to get it to go. And then Alyssa's like, what are you going to remember in 5 years? Being on time for English Lit or having,
having a life. Yeah.
And I could not relate to Reese Witherspoon more in that scene. Because that was 100% me in high school.
Yeah.
Like deciding if you want to have a life.
I was always the one that was like parenting all my friends. Mm. Like I was always the goody.
You're still that person.
I am.
We know who you are at the end of the movie.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't relate to Reese Witherspoon more. It's like, she's such a goody-good. She's got, like, daddy issues. Seattle. I'm like, I'm into her. Well, that's right.
I think if your job could be to be a student, it would.
I don't want to be a teacher. Nice. I want to be a student.
Yeah, I want to get paid to be a student.
What do you want to be when you grow up? A student.
I was really good at it, guys.
I bet.
What is the adult professional equivalent of being a student?
Being a teacher.
Yeah, but it's not quite the same.
It's not.
You're not getting tested.
I mean, I guess you could like impersonate a high school student and then do that.
Never been
kissed. Maybe be a
style.
Researcher.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
maybe that's the equivalent.
Yeah, or if you're writing books and you need to familiarize yourself with certain material, like you can incorporate studentry into your career. But
and
I don't
know.
That's
why you'll never hack it as a student.
Studentry. So I don't know if there's anything you want to say specifically about the bar scene.
Oh, the coffee scene.
Yeah, bar
it's
coffee.
It's not funny. I just love that it's a coffee shop. It's like 90s Seattle coffee grunge. It's like they just threw it all into one place.
I just love that there
But he's so cool playing pool.
He is cool.
Because he does the thing. He looks
he's
over.
He's wearing a tight shirt.
Oh, my God. The tightest. And it's tucked in with a belt. But they
Before
make eye contact.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then he looks down and he shoots. Well, first he like rubs his stick a lot.
Oh, I didn't register that.
And then I have seen this movie so many times. I could reenact it.
She was quoting lines before they happened.
Yeah, poor Brad.
That was fun for you.
Yeah.
But then he shoots. Obviously, he does something good because bearded guy is like, good job.
Yeah.
They like do a whole thing with their fists.
Do we know bearded guy's name?
Logan.
Great.
Because later at the thing, he's like, Logan! And he's like, circle up.
Yeah, yeah. We hear a bunch of names at the end.
So many.
What's the one that we kept repeating?
Nobby.
Yeah.
Also, like, what is this crew? Like, they're not musicians. They're not, like, pure criminals.
What do they do? There is a drum kit in their house. Maybe they're musicians?
It's almost like Point Break-y bank robbers, but they're not even that.
Something to do with dogs.
Right, there is that thing with the dog.
Yeah. Well, there's a dog on his lap when they're driving to do a job. Mark Wahlberg's, like, petting a Doberman in his lap.
But I can come by later.
But then the guy comes by later and says, I'm here to see about a dog.
Right.
And he's like, woof, woof, which I thought was drugs.
Yeah, I thought it was like a code.
It definitely is a code.
But then there is an actual dog, too. And then, don't get me started on the dog at the end. We'll get there.
Because I thought it was drug dealing.
I thought
that's
so,
always
too.
What I kind of think, but then...
Yeah, maybe it's both. Maybe
they do smoke a lot of crack in it.
Maybe they were into, dog rings and dog fighting.
That's maybe they're just doing all sorts of illegal activities.
Maybe.
But the guy who says, I'm here to see a dog, he says it like, I don't know what this means. I feel stupid saying this.
Yeah. Right, like maybe he's been told that's what you say so they know you're not a cop.
Yeah, that's the code word.
Oink, a fink.
So he shoots the pool, he does the thing, and then he looks back to be like, she's still looking.
Yeah.
And she is.
And he doesn't betray his thirstiness for her in that moment. Like, he doesn't seem like a guy who's going to very quickly become obsessed with her. He seems like too cool.
Oh, I'm still attracted to him, and I know where we're going.
I'm not.
It's the only scene, I think, that he actually looks convincingly normal.
Yeah.
The pool scene?
Yeah. Every other scene with him.
There's a creepiness.
There's something where, like, oh, this guy's off. Like, he's too polite. He's saying the right things too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I was into.
Yeah.
I feel like I always have strong, red flags. I didn't have them.
Wow.
I think when I started watching this when I was a kid... I didn't have red flags until the dog thing.
Mm-hmm.
I could forgive the Gary part.
But
now
end.
As an adult, my red flags hit a little sooner.
Yeah.
But they were still late.
Marky Mark just does it for you.
I'm into the pool scene. I'm into their meet cute at the rave.
I'm annoyed at the meet cute because I don't think it's that cute. Because he's like, why aren't you dancing? And then when she asks him back, he says, because no one asked me. And it's like, well, why don't you ask her? Come on.
Dance.
No,
there you go.
I think he's playing the game of
he
like,
is, but it annoyed me. As a pickup line, I'd be like, do better.
He's
personally.
Like, I think
he also probably can't dance.
Yeah.
but we know he can because of the Funky Bunch.
Oh, that's true.
Mm-hmm. And he's making it sound like he wants to dance. He just needs to be
asked. I think it's him putting the ball in her court, which is something that I think happens a lot in this movie, which is maybe why I'm so into it.
Mm-hmm.
He's not like, hey, do you want to dance? He's like, I look scary. I look whatever. And I'm going to let her make the moves and let her know that I'm receptive.
All right.
So it's like it puts a lot of agency into Reese Witherspoon throughout.
Well, not throughout.
Okay. Well, to a point.
At the beginning. It starts with giving her a lot of agency.
Not in the bathroom scene. But,
and then they leave. So everybody's like fleeing because there's a
something
helicopter.
Something happens. No,
there's a fight that breaks out.
Yeah, some sort of fight breaks out.
And he doesn't
rave.
Have his friends back, which is interesting. It makes it seem like he's just not really a violent guy, which we find out is not the case. Because his friend's like in a fight and he's like, let's go. And like ushering Reese to safety.
He gets Reese out. And then as he's climbing the stairs, he says like, Logan, he like does a whole thing where it's like, meet me on the roof. We're going up.
Right. Okay. And then they come up to the roof. There's a helicopter. They climb down this ladder. And
which
she's
you know
struggling.
That he's
looking, up her,
looking
skirt.
Up her skirt.
Oh yeah, I was like saying to me, I'm like, he can see her butt,
but he doesn't seem creepy yet.
He doesn't seem creepy yet
because
although...
the camera doesn't land on him looking at her butt.
No, you're right. But then he tells her to just like drop, and he'll catch her, and
yeah,
it'll be fine.
Like,
you'll be safe. But like,
I'm
you
so
have
into
like
it.
Four more rungs. Why don't you just what's the fucking hurry?
Keep
where's
going
the fire,
down
mate?
The stairs.
No, I think it's like a trust me moment, and she
but why?
Trusts him.
Yeah. He says, trust me.
I wouldn't trust it.
Like a sugarfish menu. You have to trust it sometimes, you know?
All right, Amir, we're done with you. That's it. Then she gets in his car. They separate. So we have Alyssa Milano off with Beardo.
Oh, where Alyssa Milano, Reese is like, Margo! And she's like, I'll see you later.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself, Alyssa Milano.
Well, I feel like I relate to...
Because she doesn't know. But Alyssa Milano doesn't know that she's with David. She just sees Reese Witherspoon climbing down by herself. David's already down.
I don't know. I think Beardo could have told her.
Maybe.
Yeah.
What do you think's harder for Milano to act? Terrified that she's going to die?
Or making out with that guy?
Yeah, making out with that OT guy like you're turned on. Ugh!
It's so gross.
Loser. He was also like 41. He's like noticeably older than the dad.
Yeah, he does seem older than everybody else in the movie.
Can you imagine Alyssa Milano figuring out who they cast? It's like, yeah, so for Reese's guy that she's making out with, we got Mark Wahlberg. And for you, well, we ran out of money, so here's my neighbor, Todd. You have to make out with him.
And he's going to be pointing at Reese all the time.
Great day for Todd.
What'd you say?
He's going to be pointing at Reese while you're making out.
Yeah.
Todd's like, all those times I loaned him my lawnmower, it's paying back.
Good news,
Todd. Make out with Alyssa Milano.
Yeah. I know you're not an actor.
Prime Alyssa Milano.
Oh, yeah. And lots of making out. That's
this
like half
pre-Charmed.
And grinding.
Oh, I mean, she's still hot now.
This is like
and
post Poison Ivy 2, or whichever one
I
she's
don't know.
In.
But yeah. She's great. Okay, meanwhile, Reese and Marky Mark are off in the car, their car, and they as they get out, she says, isn't this the car they stopped making because it blows up or something? And he says, it's not her fault they didn't put it together right, which of course is foreshadowing. And a great line.
Mm-hmm.
And comes back later when we find out that his background, David's background, is like bouncing from foster home to foster home. And the dad sees that as a condemnation of him because he's lied about his history. And then Amy Brenneman says, basically, it's not his fault. He bounced around from home to home. So they
And it's not his fault that he wants to lie about it.
Right.
Yeah,
which
I agree
to impress
with.
A girl.
Why would you want to be like, hey, adorable Reese Witherspoon, that's probably from a perfect home. You should know I'm not.
At some point, Amir said, this is like a not as good Good Will Hunting. And I forgot about this moment, but in this moment, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a great example.
Yeah, they're both from Boston, too.
Matt Damon and Ben Affleck are huge fans of this, and they were like, ooh, that's a good idea. Let's tweak it.
That's right. What if this took place in Boston instead of fucking Seattle?
Well, this at least has, like, the big Boston accent of Mark Wahlberg. I mean, his accent in this is thick.
Is that his real voice?
It's got to be, right? Because this is, like, his first big acting role.
Oh, is it?
Oh, wow.
This was his first starring role in anything.
Oh, good on him. He did good.
Yeah, he did.
It also felt like he wasn't entirely acting very much. Like, doesn't he seem like this kind of terrible...
Yeah. Well, he just gotten out of jail when he...
Yeah, what did he do? Like, what was he in prison for?
He was in jail?
Yeah, for like assault and robbery and I want to say attempted murder.
And they were like, welcome out of jail. Yeah. Come, let's pair you up with this sweet blonde.
Well, first he did Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch, and then he was like a underwear model.
Oh.
But then he beat someone up?
When he's like pinning her up against the car and like kissing her and threatening her, I'm like, this feels like Mark Wahlberg is not acting.
It's like he's done this in real life.
He's taking too much joy in this.
Yeah.
He was charged with attempted murder, pleaded guilty to felony assault, sentenced to 2 years in jail, but served only 45 days.
And then he came out and did this movie.
Yeah.
And they're like, this guy is perfect for this movie.
We need an asshole who will beat up Alyssa Milano.
I think that is why he does feel authentic in the part, though.
Right.
It's like, it's probably not too far off from some of the things he was in.
Yeah, I wonder if the actor who played Gary was genuinely afraid when he's like, all right, in this scene,
can you
gotta rehearse, Mark Wahlberg is gonna sprint after you, throw you down on the ground and snap your neck. Well, don't do it too hard, Mark.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder if the girls were afraid, too.
This is just a rehearsal.
Just knowing his history.
Well, the rumors are that he and Reese dated during this.
Oh.
That makes sense. I was going to say, like, I can imagine him and Reese, Alyssa Milano, like, going to the premiere of this movie together. Mm. It seems like it makes sense.
Well, I mean, him and Reese are, like, fully real kissing in this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The kissing is the grossest part of this movie. Grosser than Beardy Guy.
It is the sloppiest kissing that I've seen for a while.
Yeah, he's like a sucker fish.
Yeah.
Because it's like, even when he does, like, right before he tries to murder her dad, he kisses her on the cheek, but he open mouths kisses her cheek, and it, like, hits
her
eye.
Now, is that something that is actually hot?
No.
Or just guys that have that type of attitude about themselves think is hot, and they do it? And
I don't think it's hot. Jessica?
I think it's...
Yeah.
It's hot if Mark Wahlberg does it, it's hot.
Jessica. Like, if Mark Wahlberg, you know, at that time, came up to you, and you were of age and all that, and started kissing you that way, would you be, like, totally into it?
I guess anytime you like someone, the things they do are...
I think if I was 17.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, same.
Because there is a, like, sloppy rawness that feels like she's probably never had a guy try any of this stuff before.
Right. And it's
very primal.
Because
she says that thing about the other guy, because Alyssa Milano's like, what about so-and-so? He likes you. And she's like, well, when I go out with him, I feel like I should be paid for babysitting.
Right.
So this is like a man.
Yeah.
And I think she's like...
a good old-fashioned, violent, misogynistic, rapey man.
But she's like taken by him. He's like devouring her with a kiss.
What does she see in this mysterious, hot, bad boy with a heart of gold?
And a nice car.
Yeah. No heart of gold.
I'm so into the convertible.
I'm pretty sure she sees her father.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, he has a nice car. Old car.
Loves James Taylor.
He loves James Taylor. I mean, if that's not badass, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
Loving James Taylor.
Hits a cabinet.
Yeah. I didn't notice how Brad said something early on when we were watching where he's like, well, obviously Mark Wahlberg is like her dad. And I didn't really put that together in the million times that I had seen this. And then after he said it, it colored the whole rest of the way I watched the movie. Because every choice she makes once they break up is like connected to her dad.
Interesting. Mm. Mm-hmm. And then she even says, not everything I do is about you, Dad.
Right.
Yeah. And then immediately after that, she gets the card out of the trash.
Remember when the mom calls her, stepmom calls her a slut?
I love that line. Take off that makeup, you look like a slut.
She's like 2 gallons of makeup. Like the entire time, this stepmom is very supportive and sweet. And then one time, it's just like they paint her out to be like this evil stepmom. It's like she's wearing 2 gallons of makeup, that slut.
Yeah, she looked like one. Is what
yeah,
she's
she
like.
Looked like one. She didn't call her a slut. Yeah. She said she looked like a slut.
But she says it
huge
very much
difference.
In the tone of.
And you like the dad coming to her defense.
Yeah, I do think for all of his problems, I did really like a lot about the dad.
I hate the dad.
Oh, I really like him. Because he just cares and is trying to protect her. And like there's that whole, like I already said, that inversion where the dad's calling David a psychopath and his friend is like, because he's hot for your daughter. And so it's that same thing, that inversion of no one believing the woman. And I mean, even when he's like, don't let them in, even though he's about to die, like they're going to kill him. And he's still like, don't let them inside. I'm like, oh, he's so brave.
That whole thing pisses me off.
Oh, I like that.
Because he's got to go outside and be a dick about it and punch the guys. As soon as security comes, all of a sudden, William Peterson's like, I'm a big man. Mm. I'm going to go out there and do whatever. And it's like, yeah, it serves you right. There were 3 of them.
Yeah, but he figured the one guy had a gun.
Ugh. I hate the dad in this. I think he's such a dick. And
I'm like,
I think
I wish my dad would stick up for me like that.
Yeah, but he only sticks up for whoever's like mad. Like he always takes Nicole's side in a lot of this stuff. And the mom's got a lot of points where she's like, you're too easy on her. Like you need to set rules. You need to set boundaries. And then he only sets boundaries when he like feels like another man is like taking his daughter.
Yeah, the only time I really get mad at him is when he blows up over the condom.
But even before that, he's like,
he hit
you.
Yeah.
He says what?
He even before that, he was very intense with the way he was saying, he hit you, he hit you. It wasn't, oh, he hit you?
But he was right. He knew it. He sensed it.
He did
it.
Know it, yeah, but he was angry at her.
Yeah, that was weirdly misguided.
He was directing that at her. That
yeah,
was,
he's like, only I can hit you.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't. He didn't. He was nice. He was like a Brad.
Brad is checking out Alyssa Milano's ass. Underage.
I mean, who wouldn't?
I'm so
at least look. You don't have to touch, but like, who's going to look away when Alyssa Milano is?
The stepmom has that line early on because
I didn't look away.
Exactly.
Okay, take it easy. Take it easy. When he cancels the James Taylor concert, he's like, "Well, what do you want me to do?" And the mom's like, "Well, you could keep your word to your family for once."
Yeah, that was good. That was a good moment from her.
It's a good setup that the dad does this shit all the time.
Right. They do hint at him not necessarily having been a good dad growing up. And even Mark Wahlberg calls him out on it. Like, I know you were a bad dad to Nicole.
Yeah, because I licked your sweet tears. Oh, it's so gross.
That's right. That line. There is a part where he says to her, you know, every part of you tastes so good. But where I was like, how many parts has he tasted? Because at that point, they just kissed.
Yeah, that line has always grossed me out.
Yeah.
Every part of you tastes so good.
Was he consistently like a specific kind of bad guy? Like, it seemed like he kind of flip-flopped. Like, sometimes he was sweet. Sometimes he was like trying to fuck Alyssa Milano. Sometimes he was obsessed with Nicole and like writing.
He's
like
always, I think, obsessed with Nicole. But I don't think he sees them as exclusive, or what's the word I want?
I guess
mutually exclusive.
Yeah, I think like as a guy who like tattoos Nicole forever, which is a very funny moment. The EVA is very stupid.
I said the only things I remembered about this movie were getting fingered on the roller coaster.
How can you forget?
I mean, right? And him carving Nicole's name into his chest. I did not remember that it said Nicole forever.
Yeah.
Forever, ever? Forever, ever?
That's
crazy.
So funny. It was like a little girl writing forever on his chest. But like that guy doesn't seem like a guy who's obsessed with Nicole doesn't also seem like he would be like just back at the place trying to fuck Nicole's friend.
He's not just trying to fuck Nicole's friend. He rapes her.
Yeah, he does rape her.
So it's about power.
Yeah,
you know?
It's I would say that he can think that her and Nicole are supposed to be together forever, but it doesn't mean that he has to only be with her.
Right.
She just only has to be with him.
Exactly.
Yeah, she can't be hugging Gary.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
God forbid.
Scotty freaks out.
Wait, real quick, while we're on Gary for a second, because I don't want to forget this. His name's Todd Caldicott. He studied Ayurvedic medicine, and now he's, like, into natural healing.
Wow.
And if you look him up, he does all of this, like, really cool healing stuff now. He got fed up with Hollywood.
Go Gare.
Go Gare. And then he traveled and got really sick. He had bacillary and amoebic dysentery. And then in a weakened state, he traveled and he partially recovered. And then, like, found success in treatments from an Ayurvedic physician. And then he's, like, written books on Ayurvedic healing now.
I wonder if Wahlberg's read any of them.
I wonder.
Remember when he's pounding his chest?
Another parallel.
That might be the first red flag.
But she doesn't know that. She doesn't see that.
No, but as the viewer, that might be the first time that I was like, ooh.
Didn't he already beat up the kid, though?
No. Yeah. That was a bigger red
flag. He already beat up Gary for the first time.
Then he starts pounding his chest after the confrontation with the dad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then later, the dad, when she says, you hit him, you caused bruises on him. And he thinks back and he's like, I guess my pointing at him, I am that strong.
Yeah.
That must have bruised him.
That seems strange because she's like, are you going to tell me that you didn't hit him so hard that it left bruises? And the dad goes, I might have. And she goes, yeah, you might have.
Yeah.
But here's what you definitely did. You lost my respect.
Yes.
But the fact that the dad definitely has like a temper because he says, I might have.
Right.
You might have what? You didn't do anything. Like, what do you think? What are you remembering?
He's that cocky. He's thinking,
I
really hurt this kid.
I got more strength than one little finger.
Yeah. This is, I'm amazing.
It's so good.
That's why he walks out. After the security guard comes up, because he's like, I'm invincible.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I bruised him pointing at him, so I could take these guys.
I think it's in the scene where Alyssa Milano is being very sexy and neither Brad nor I looked away that Amir turned to me and said, why are they dressed identically? And it's like Mark Wahlberg and the dad are wearing like black shirts, blue jeans. They're dressed exactly
I thought it was
the
Reese and the dad.
Oh, was it? Yeah. Oh, I think you're right.
The scene where I got my first red flag.
What?
It's more interesting that it's Reese and the dad because, daddy issues.
Because,
he's, like, trying to please him.
In that
scene,
that's where Mark Wahlberg goes in and he's, like, talking to the dad. And he yells to Nicole.
Oh, yeah, get me a drink.
Get me a Coke.
Yeah.
And then the music changes.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it's this first, like, little chink in the veneer of, like, he's not as polite as he's pretending.
Yeah.
Right. And then Reese Witherspoon is here in the background. Okay.
Yeah.
She's still like at a six.
Yeah, which I kind of get. I could see that in the midst of everything else is not a red flag to me. It's like I would miss it in her shoes. It feels just like, hey, will you grab me a Coke? Sure. You know?
Oh, yeah, me too.
I wouldn't think anything of
it.
Also, I think where I'm most attracted to him in this movie, because I'm not as into him as you are, is when he's like has all this nursery experience and can help plant the tree. Like, I'm into that.
Yeah, where did he get all that experience?
I don't know.
Construction back.
All I know is that dirt under a guy's fingernails is really attractive.
Oh my God.
Yeah, why does she say that?
Clearly trying to fuck him. So funny.
Do you think she is trying to fuck him or trying to make her husband jealous or what do you think?
I don't think she's
excited to have someone to flirt with.
I mean, the whole pool scene of her grabbing her and
he throws her in
and she loved it.
Yeah, she does seem to love
it. And then he kisses Reese Witherspoon while staring at the dad.
That is so creepy. Yeah, open mouth suckers her, like forehead.
Yeah, like staring at the dad. What a fucking freak.
I mean, that also just seems really dumb / short-sighted. Like, if he is the gateway to Nicole, like, just play nice.
Well, I think what we learn eventually when we get that picture, he wants to replace the dad.
Yeah.
He wants the dad.
He wants an Insta family.
Yes.
Yeah. By that I mean like immediate, not for Instagram. Although probably both.
Which is funny because Mark Wahlberg is in a movie called Insta Family.
Really?
Right?
Yep.
Oh, I did not know.
I think it's called
that.
Instant Family, but.
That's so funny. I did not know. Also, I love his little tricks like setting back Nicole's clock on her watch and then he sets back the dad's clock. But I was immediately like, oh no, he's making plans about when he's going to FedEx something. He's going to miss his deadline.
And I mean, he's just lucky that he lived in a time when he could so easily wind clocks back.
Right. That's typical.
You couldn't do it. Yeah. It's like you'd have to, you know, get someone's phone out, find out their password.
Set it to a different time zone.
Yeah.
It'd be so much more complicated.
A good 2-minute scene of him doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is funny.
Usually clocks are covered anyway. He just fucking.
Yeah.
The dad is so, like, dependent on that one clock because then, like, he looks at the clock and then he looks at a watch and it's like, Why didn't you look at the watch at all?
Yeah.
I got to go to Vancouver. The best is when they finally show the plans and it's like this terribly frame rate 2D animation. Like, wow, this is awesome.
At the time.
Yeah, I guess. I'll excuse it.
Thank you. You're so generous.
One of the most memorable things about this movie to me is the Bush song.
Oh my gosh, there's three Bush songs.
They play the I Don't Want to Come Back Down from this
cloud. They play Come Down.
They play that twice.
Machine Head?
Maybe it's Machine Head. I should have written it down. But there were a few, because I was obsessed with Bush growing up, so also like making out to Bush would have been a dream. I've actually taken Amir to go see Bush like 2 years ago.
Didn't bum you out when he cheated on...
Oh, it totally bummed me out. Like, I had thought
it
for years and years.
It turned you on, Mark Wahlberg style.
Because I thought if they break up, then, like, maybe I have my
shot.
It was
a bummer.
But then it was like, oh, I don't even want that anymore because you're a cheater. Is Gavin Rossdale still with the woman that he cheated with?
I can't imagine.
Ethan Hawke is still with, like, the babysitter he cheated on Uma Thurman with.
Right, they had kids.
Yeah.
Which is almost more respectable. I don't want to come back down from this cloud.
I don't know if there's a respectable cheating.
No, but it's better that they stayed together and fell in love and had a family than
he's probably cheating on her too.
Huh?
He's probably cheating on her too.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to make a strong stand and say that if Brad cheated on me, I would rather it be a fling and they break up and it was just like a problem in our marriage than no, this was who he could commit to.
Right.
Like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. I feel like
you
once
should be
a cheater,
miserable.
Always a cheater is kind of true.
I think so, with like an asterisk.
Right. Like, maybe you really turn your life around and become a different person, or you go through like rehab for sex addiction, or maybe you were in high school and you knew he was cheating, so you were cheating. Whatever. There are some exceptions, but generally I think it's like,
what about
if you're not serious.
What about once a cheater, twice a cheater? So if you did it once, odds are you'll do it one more time and then never again.
I'm in comedy. I think it's rule of three. I think you could do it three times and then quit, but not just two.
Once a cheater, for now a cheater.
Well, I think it's interesting compared to The Crush, where it's revealed that like Alicia Silverstone has done this before, that I don't think he has.
Well, I don't think he's necessarily been obsessive over a girl before, but he's definitely committed acts of violence before, and he's probably killed people before.
But I think that's part of what I like about this version of this kind of movie, is like most of these movies...
It still makes you feel like she's special.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and that it's like, it's his first time doing this too, like being obsessed or whatever. Like, because normally when we watch these kind of movies, it's like, no, this had happened before. And I think it's interesting to watch... one where it's like the prequel to that of like, this is the first time that someone has acted like a fucking psychopath.
I agree.
Forever.
There's so many
parallels. What's the next girl going to do? I mean, he dies. But what's the next girl going to do if it's in Nicole Forever? Well, how's he going
to? I think he has to find someone named Eva and sort of back his way into
or another Nicole.
But it's also like Mark Wahlberg, to me, is such a good bad guy in this. He's like the bad guy that I totally wanted to date. So it's like... No, he's really a good guy who's just had bad circumstances.
Yeah, but he's not a good guy.
No, but I buy into it. The way she buys into it, I buy into it.
I don't know. The way he beats the shit out of her friend, I don't think I could recover from that.
I don't think she does recover from that.
Yeah, but she gets invested again. She gets sucked back in.
A little bit.
He apologizes.
Yeah, sorry for literally almost killing your best friend. Yeah.
And then later.
I just thought he was hugging you. Yeah.
What does he say? I just saw him put his filthy mitts all over, paws all over you or something where it's like, it becomes very animalistic.
And he does throw her to the ground when she tries to intervene.
He gives her a black eye.
Yeah.
He like elbows her down. Yeah, that's a red flag.
I want to say that
I agree, but I would take him back.
The dad gets terrible advice from his friend who basically says a restraining order will make him want it even more. That's insane advice. Don't get a restraining order because he'll just want it even more.
You know
more.
What? Restraining orders don't work. Controversial statement. Restraining orders don't work.
I don't
work.
Know enough to comment on it, but that seems like bad advice.
When I was in middle school, my friend had a stalker.
Mm-hmm.
And her parents, they got a restraining order. This was before I met her. She had a stalker. And her mom told me this story one night because her mom was the coolest. And we had girl talk. And she told us like all this really crazy stuff that happened from the stalker. And she said, we got a restraining order and it did nothing.
Yeah, it seems like crazy people are crazy regardless
of
the rules.
Yeah, that's true.
I was just reading about Robert Pattinson, who had a stalker. He, instead of putting out, you know, getting a restraining order or saying, stop talking to me, he went on a date with her. And then all he did was complain about how horrible his life was and all the things that were going wrong. And by the end of the day, she was just like, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, no thanks.
But I wonder if she ever then heard this story and was like, fuck, I've been had. And then her crush comes back.
Yeah, maybe.
It's possible.
It's a tactic.
Yeah, it's smart.
It's a living.
Yeah. By the way, in that same scene where, it's not the same scene. It's, he's talking to his new wife, I think, where he says, she's like, what's the big deal? And he says, the big deal is the guy gives me the creeps and the girl's my daughter. And then there's a really weird jump cut that I rewound.
Oh, yeah, when he slams the phone down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's on the phone with his wife. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
He's like talking and talking. He's like, oh, and fine. And then it's, when he slams the phone down, there's a jump cut and he like shifts in frame, like almost like.
It well, seems like they meant to cut to something else quickly and then.
They cut.
Didn't
I think they
it.
Cut yeah. out part of the conversation. So it's him
that's
saying,
oh, okay.
And the girl is my daughter. And then it cuts. And he's just like an inch over and he hangs up the
more
phone.
More than an inch.
Yeah.
But they could have just, because they also cut to his wife and she's hanging up. So they could have just cut to her hanging up. Like you didn't have to go back to see him hang up.
Yeah, we need to like find out who edited this film and be like, what decision led to that?
Well, I want to know what's in between those cuts.
Yeah.
What was
what's
the
more
thing
the
that they said,
right.
We don't need this.
And was it an accident? Because jump cuts I'm fine with, but like you kind of have to use them consistently. It's yeah. weird to have just one.
I would think that's not an accident. Like,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And yet it almost couldn't be on purpose either.
Yeah. You would yeah. hope not. It's perhaps the biggest mystery of this film.
I think you're right. I'll put that at the number one.
Yeah.
Can I just say also another defense of the dad?
Oh my God, you're so in love with the dad.
It's really in this one moment where I think I went oh out loud. Where he's asleep with the phone, like he's been waiting up for all night and he's holding the phone and then she leaves a note that says, I'm sorry if I caused you to worry. If you mean I'm sorry I caused you to worry.
But
obviously
he
he's worried. He's cradling the phone.
He was such a bad dad to her.
Staring at me. What did I do?
He was such a bad dad. She says that whole thing about how she moved out here with her mom. She took care of her mom.
Right.
It's obvious that her mom has died.
Oh, interesting. I thought that she was like, I'm not going to be her caretaker anymore and left.
No, I think it's obvious that her mom is dead. Because the mom, she never calls her mom. She says, I was really close with my mom. We moved out here together. It was like me taking care of her. And then he's like, well, what about your dad? She's like, well, I only moved in with him like a year ago. We don't really know each other yet. Yes.
Interesting. That makes sense. I didn't get that, but that makes sense.
Because she would have called her mom throughout the.
Yeah, I thought they had a falling out because she was like, I'm always like being the adult with my mom.
That's why it's so jarring when she comes to live with the dad is because he like wasn't a dad to her really.
Right. Mm. Which is why I agree with the dad when Amy Brenneman's like, you have to make some rules. I'm like, well, you haven't been around. It's kind of fucked up to start bossing her around now.
No, but I agree with Amy Brenneman. Guys, I like rules.
I like rules too. I just think when somebody's like not been a part of your life and they start bossing you around, that's stressful.
Rules rule.
Thanks, Amir.
Sorry, I was on my phone. What were you saying?
Okay, something that Amir was useful is for.
I was going to say.
Actually.
Was when Gary and Nicole are sitting together in school and he says, cane me in Singapore. And I was like, what? And I didn't get it. But then you did.
That's right. Do you guys remember the Michael Fay?
Did you get that reference?
I didn't get the reference. No. I also looked up one of Gary's other references.
So oh. in the early 90s, a teenager was caned in Singapore, I believe, for either spitting or chewing gum or something like.
You said and maybe spitting out his gum.
Yeah. There was like a famous international incident where a American tourist teenager was caned. So when he said, cane me in Singapore, it was a very of that specific moment.
Mm-hmm. I know whoever wrote Gary, like,
what was
it's
when you
very specific.
Up?
Oh, he says, have you heard from Travis Bickle?
Oh, I got that one. Taxi Driver.
Gary was like a great character that is not in the movie enough.
I love Gary.
Everything
I'd
with him was
spin-off.
Like really well done, I thought.
Yeah. He's compelling and he's smart
and he's nice
hot.
And he does the thing where he hugs her and then Mark Wahlberg freaks out.
And then he still intervenes where he could be scared to, but he does it again anyway the second time.
I love the second time.
Yeah, it's really good.
That whole scene I love. I mean, we're not, I guess like before that, we should say the Alyssa Milano rape scene.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
That was not ideal.
So he.
That's so hard to watch.
They're out together and Mark Wahlberg's like, come home with me. And she doesn't. But then
well, she
gets
runs
a
off,
second.
First, she runs off with Mark Wahlberg because. He beat his chest a million
right.
times
and
to make it look like
her
it's
dad
bruised.
Did it. Yeah.
And blame the dad. And the dad says, I might have.
So she runs off with him.
Which, like, come on, dad, clear out this misunderstanding.
Yeah.
She runs off with Mark Wahlberg. I love that, where she gets in the car and the music changes. And it's like, fuck.
Oh, and then the camera like follows her down and it's just Mark Wahlberg staring at him.
Yeah.
How often is he just ominously staring at someone?
So often.
But also, like, convertibles in Seattle are not a thing because it rains all the time and it's freezing.
Oh.
And like,
didn't rain once in this movie.
No, yeah. It didn't. It was like, it was unusually warm because they're always swimming.
Yeah. They're always cold at night in the film, it looks like.
The Ring is cold Seattle, and then this is warm Seattle.
Oh, by the way, and The Crush is also Seattle.
Oh, right.
None of these movies were shot in Seattle. They're all like Vancouver.
Mm. Of course. Mm-hmm. Where Brad's from.
A.
That's A.
Oh, but so then they go off together. She's like spiteful against the dad. Mm-hmm. They go off. We hear the Bush song one more time because they like have sex in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, doesn't he say he loves her then?
I think he says, what? Do you want me?
Oh, yeah. No, he says he loves you when she loses her virginity.
Yeah, and that's in the bedroom.
That's in the bedroom.
That's earlier.
He says, do you want me? And then he tells her to say it.
Yeah,
tell me you want me.
Yeah.
And then he says the same thing to Alyssa Milano in a much scarier fashion.
Mm. Yeah.
So he invites Nicole over. She doesn't want to come. She says she's going to go home. But then, what is it? She just like looks at the car and has a change of heart?
She looks. She's going in. And then she looks and she sees her dad's car. Mm-hmm. And she's like, never mind.
Oh, like, I don't want to be here while he's here.
It's like a spiteful.
So then she leaves, drives over, and through the window, she sees what is obviously a very fucked up Margot. Publicly, half publicly. I mean, they're in private. They're in the house. But there's all these people around. And she's, like,
gyrating.
Yeah.
On a chair.
On this guy in her underwear. And she's visibly fucked up. Like, her eyes are, like, rolled back. And
yeah,
then,
and the bearded guy is, like, what is he? Is it crystal meth? What is he smoking?
Yeah. It's definitely not. Just regular drugs.
Yeah.
It's not regular meth. It's definitely crystal meth.
Yeah.
Is there a difference between crystal meth and meth? I think it's all meth.
I don't know.
But he seems
Does
to
it look like
meth.
I would know
the answer to this question? Idea. But then.
You love crystals.
He starts coming on to her, and it's very clear that he's like physically intimidating Margot. He's grabbing her by the hair.
At first, she likes it.
Does she?
Yes. He said, what does he say first? Like, do you want me?
And she
laughs because I think that goes back to the line earlier with the Playboy when she's looking at a Playboy and she's like,
it's always good to be wanted.
Yeah, who wouldn't want a million guys to want you? And Nicole's like, that's crazy. She's like, it's power. So I think in the moment when he's like, because I think this is the first time that he has raped her.
I think so, too. However, I will say, even if she, quote unquote, wants it. She's really fucked up in this moment. She doesn't know
what she wants. But I think she laughs at that line because she doesn't know what's going to happen next.
Right. And I also think you laugh even when you're uncomfortable. Like, it's one thing to want it in the abstract, to want power. But when it's, like, the guy that you're with and his friend is coming on to you, that's a different thing. That's uncomfortable. I think it's an uncomfortable laugh.
Oh. No argument.
Yeah. You just can't imagine somebody not wanting to fuck Mark Wahlberg.
I know. It's just so hard for Jessica to wrap her head around.
Well, not Mark Wahlberg. This, like, 1996 Mark
this
Wahlberg.
This abusive, murderous Mark Wahlberg.
David.
I love David.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, this scene is rough.
Yeah.
Because she kind of laughs, like, ha, ha, ha. And then he's, like, he grabs her hair and is, like, tell him you want me.
Yeah.
And then, like, he does it really hard and she almost cries.
Yeah.
Like, she cries out in pain of, like, I want him.
Yeah, right. She's, like, crying.
And then that guy's response is, take her. I don't want the dirty whore anyway.
Oh, that seems brutal.
It's really rough.
Most brutal.
She's
for
on
me.
Her own.
And I know it's a different time and whatever, but the most painful part of that scene is that Reese Witherspoon does nothing. Because if she does come in, that's going to save Margot because of his obsession with Nicole. Like, he's going to stop. And instead, she, like, endures this horrible trauma.
I don't even know, though, if she came in, if it would save her.
I think it would.
I think
he'd be so preoccupied being like, it's not what it looks like.
No, I think if she went in, I don't think that Reese Witherspoon would have been allowed to leave.
Mm.
I think he would have, like, gone psycho.
Yeah, maybe. Although then the dad would have found them.
I don't know. It's one of those things where, like, we don't know because it doesn't happen.
Sure.
But I would think in that moment, if she'd walked in, he wouldn't have just let her leave and he might have, like, kidnapped her or something. Because that's where we're building to the end, is like he wants to kidnap her and
run
away.
True, but I still think the right thing to have done in that moment, she should have intervened for her friend.
Well, how,
I think
how,
she should
how,
call 911.
How old is she in this movie again?
16?
16. I mean, that's pretty young, and she may see this, and she's thinking about it from a totally different, you know.
Clearly, she thinks her friend's like cheating with her boyfriend.
Well, I think she's never seen anything like this.
But
because Reese Witherspoon obviously doesn't do drugs.
Sure, but even if you've never seen anything like this, when somebody's being grabbed by the hair.
No, I understand, but I just think she's scared and she doesn't know what to do.
I mean, at this point, we haven't seen that he's psychotic. She doesn't know how violent he is.
But I do think
so
that's
I don't
think
what she's scared.
But I know I think she is scared. I think she's
horrified and is like, my friend is fucking my boyfriend. I'm out of here.
No, I think she's scared in the sense of because she kind of looks scared before anything happens. It's like she's kind of – that's why she doesn't go to the door. She goes up to the window and she sees like this whole world that's not her world. Because Margo goes to raves without her. Margo has no supervision at home.
Right.
And like when Nicole goes to that rave, you get the feeling this is the first rave she's been to. And she walks up and she sees her friend acting crazy.
Yeah.
Gyrating on drugs. She sees all of this happen and I think it's like too much for her. Because she could have just, like, gone to the front door and knocked, but she doesn't.
Right. I mean, I think seeing her friend gyrating is startling. But I will say, never having done crystal meth, at 16, I knew still what it looked like to see somebody fucked up. And, like, that is her friend, so she knows that's not how she behaves normally.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel more defensive of her. Of like, I remember seeing not like this, but I remember seeing stuff when I was younger and not knowing what to do and not doing anything. And then later, like, in my brain kind of being like, that wasn't what it looked like. I'm sure that I made it look different.
I guess it was worse to me because then later when she's mad at Margo and Margo says he forced me, she's not like kind to her at all. That was
no,
really
she's
hard
not.
For me to
Which I think
watch.
Is a good scene because I think that does happen. And it's a good scene to watch and like to have that feeling of like, fuck Reese Witherspoon, I think it's good.
Yeah, or at least to have this discussion about it.
I think so.
Because I think we're supposed to be on her side, and I'm really not in that moment.
Yeah, it's interesting because it is written and directed by a man.
Yeah. And I think he wants it to be this.
The women are just taking over this conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking about rape and the men are silent.
Right?
As usual. Thanks for being an ally, Brad.
I'm silent.
Yeah, shut up and listen. Though I think, obviously I don't know, but from the writer-director's perspective, it's like, yeah, and I'm going to set it up so Reese thinks that she's cheating. But it's really overlooking the fact that, like, he is being forceful and it's visible. And
yeah,
then,
it's a lot for her to take in. And I think it is telling, though, that they do have her break up with him, too. He's not, like, she doesn't just blame Margo.
No,
she blames
of course.
Both of them.
Oh, that would be so much worse.
And
but
then
it's
I don't
still
think she's
bad.
Ever really on board. Well, after that, she's not on board with him again.
Yeah.
That's the straw.
She's not on board with either of them starting then, but she comes back around to Alyssa Milano. But the scene where he's chasing her in the car is very scary, I think.
That was a good scene.
That was really well done. The tension is so high.
Yeah.
And I think also it's probably the most...
And she's so good in it.
She's so good. Because
she does the thing where, like, a car is coming to him, and she points. She's like, look.
Like, trying to warn him?
Yeah, like, warning him.
Yeah.
She's so good in that.
You know, I think that might be the most, like, impactful part of the movie to me, because at this point... I'm so invested in that character. I feel so sorry for her that she's just been raped. She has no family that cares about her. The one person that cares about her, her best friend, is not talking to her now. She's alone in the world, and she's being followed with malicious intent, clearly, by her rapist. And, like,
and what does
that's
he say
the
most at
invested
the end?
I am.
You know you liked it.
Oh,
you fucking
yeah.
liked it.
Yeah. Oh.
That may be the only scene where I think a character truly showed fear.
Yeah.
In the sense of what that I think the movie was perhaps going for.
Right. I think
like,
at
she
the very
was
end
really
we get it, but
scared of him.
Yeah. And you have it a little bit with Gary when he's running from him in the forest.
That Gary scene where Mark Wahlberg comes up on him and it's just like a manic.
Yeah.
Hey Gary. Hey, did you know that I came from and he does that whole speech
oh
and he's
gosh.
Like totally different than he is in any other scene and it is like seriously frightening, and why does Gary take off into the woods?
Yeah, thank God Gary walks that very solitude path through the woods home every day, and otherwise, how could he have killed him?
Oh my God.
He must have
known.
In
public.
Mark Wahlberg got lucky in that
You know what I think about, too, is later when they find Gary's body, they say that somebody beat the shit out of him, and what I think happened... And, you know, it's not really clear. He does, like, I
he
think
breaks
kind of
his neck.
Yeah, I'm imagining that he beat the shit out of him after he already killed
him.
That he just, like, wailed on the corpse.
Yeah, that death, I knew it was coming because I've seen this a million times. And I still gasp because it is, like,
it's so
brutal.
Sudden. Yeah.
Too. He just, like, because I kind of, in my brain, I guess I had been, like, maybe he pushes him and he falls and he, like, cracks his neck on the way down or something. But it's, like, no,
he breaks his neck. Also, David is so much faster than Gary.
And bigger.
Yeah, so they're, like, racing, basically, but he's it's like not even a race.
Yeah. No.
And it's also another tie to the
dad. Very prey the movie, predator.
In the opening, you have the dad running, and he's fast.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Through the woods.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
So we have some mirroring again.
Did a famous person write this movie?
Yes.
Whom?
I looked him up. He wrote The Last of the Mohicans.
Oh.
Very different. I haven't seen that since high school. I hadn't seen either.
The director also directed Glengarry Glen Ross.
I loved that.
And all of the 50 Shades movies.
Same level. I loved Glengarry Glen Ross. Wait,
well,
who directed this?
James Foley?
Okay, yeah.
Is that right?
That sounds right.
And the guy who did the sound also does all the Coen scores.
The Coen brothers?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
I like the score in this. It's very ominous.
Yeah, plus Bush.
Do you think that Mark Wahlberg is in love with Nicole?
I think he's obsessed with Nicole, but I don't think love causes you to, like, murder a family and take them away from the things they love or try to.
I would never murder a family.
Thanks, Amir.
Over love?
Yeah, specifically over love.
I'm pretty sure your family would end up murdering me if I tried. Like, I would lose big time.
That's true.
You just can't out.
But I feel like
them.
I mean, maybe he doesn't love her, but I think that he thinks he loves her.
Yeah, I agree with that.
He's so fucked up. I think he loves her as much as he can.
Forever.
Yeah. I don't think he's capable of love.
Forever.
But I think this is the closest he'll ever get.
Well, I think so. Oh, the ending.
Yeah, when they break. What do you think the goal is for the gang when they're breaking into the house?
Wait, before they break into the house, can we just say, because they break into the house.
The dad causes that
in retaliation, yes. Yeah.
This
dad
is where the dad is
the
like
house.
A fucked up person.
But my favorite thing is the house is a fucking pigsty, but they're so mad that he trashed it. This house is like
He broke the guy's pool cue.
You can't
find those just anywhere.
Well, he smashes
That's
through the guy's
doll.
Drums.
Yeah.
He breaks their big screen TV.
Oh, I don't remember that.
These are things you would notice. Well, that's the thing, is it shows the guy with the drums and he's like, bleh. And then they show the guy who stares at the TV. And then they show the broken pool cue. And it's like, that's your rate of like things are getting worse.
You should be like ramping up.
I know who did this. So what's their goal? They go to the house to do what?
Fuck him up. That's what he says.
Eye for an eye.
Kill or like just
you fuck up my
things?
Place, I'll fuck up yours.
Yeah. Because they're acting like they're going to come in and murder everyone. They're like, save the fucking house. We're all going to die. If it's just to destroy the house, it's like, all right, let us out of here.
I think it's to destroy the house, beat up the dad, and probably, in bearded guy's mind, rape Nicole.
Yeah.
I don't know, because you say that, but then the first thing they do is chop a dog's head off.
Oh, my God.
That's not just, I want to fuck up your house. Yeah. That's way beyond that.
I think it's interesting, and I like it, because it's probably accurate to what would happen, but that the dog, what's our dog's name?
Kaiser.
That Kaiser liked David initially.
Oh, that part breaks my heart.
I know. Me too.
When he's like, come here, boy. Come here.
Because he's like trusting.
You knew right away the dog would be dead.
Yes, as soon as we saw the dog. They never put a dog in a horror movie unless they're going to kill it. It's awful.
Because it's their way of getting rid of, like, showing death without killing a character yet.
Yeah, or at least a main character.
Funny Games, same thing. But the way they put the bloody head through the thing was visually interesting.
And then the guy sticks his head through.
Yeah. You're next. Jesus, Nobby, relax.
Yeah, the home invasion stuff I think is really cool and well done and scary. Because there's so many of them and they're all frightening.
Yeah.
Until one of them gets a drill gun to the hand. And
that was good.
Then he's just like, I gotta go to the hospital, guys.
Oh, that really stung.
And then... As far as we know, he lives, right? He goes to the hospital.
Yeah, good call.
Takes care of his hand. He's like, I'm glad I did that.
He learned a lesson. He starts over.
Amy Brenneman actually did him a favor by drilling his hand.
Actually, that guy I read on Wikipedia is selling medicine now. It's so bizarre.
Specifically for drilled hands.
He did a lot of traveling. And
I do like that
when
like this shit starts going, like the kids will have to go upstairs. But Amy Brenham, and she, like, holds her own. She's, like, they're holding down the fort, too, protecting the family.
I think this is going to bring them closer together in their marriage.
Ugh,
surviving
I think they're
a trauma.
I think he needs some therapy.
It reminded me of us a lot, like a really nice house and a family. For...
Not you two specifically, but the movie.
The movie.
But that's true.
You know who held it together better than anyone?
Toby.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
Toby.
A champ.
Man, that kid really is the hero of this movie.
He knows how to drive
a car.
Yeah.
All right.
He knows how to reverse it.
Well, seriously.
Yeah.
And he did not, like, there was really not much of an emotional response. Like, he wasn't like, oh no, it was just sort of like, what's got to happen. Mm-hmm. I got to do this.
That's right.
His dog's head came through the doggy door. He was just like, it's on.
Yeah.
I see what's happening here. I'm formulating a plan.
He held it together better than Margo, because all three of them go up into the room and Margo's freaking out.
Oh, yeah. Margo's definitely freaking out.
And Toby is like, there's a guy at the window.
Margo's probably having PTSD currently.
For sure.
Yeah. And he's like, I think I can fit through this, and I can go out the window. I'm going to do this.
He's such a
champ.
I'm going to
call. Yeah. That's the kid I want to be. I mean, like, that's the character I want to be in this movie.
That's the grown-up I want to be. Yeah.
That's the sequel you want, is his story.
Yeah. Toby's probably 35 at this point. You should have him on the podcast.
Yeah. Oh my God, I would die.
Toby, are you out there? And then ultimately, the good guys win.
Yes.
We have David turns on
the dad.
No, he turns on Logan because Logan's going to rape Reese Witherspoon.
Yes, exactly. Oh, yeah, but he doesn't even bat an eye. He just like.
Well, we've had a few of these scenes where Logan points at her while gyrating.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to get in you.
Yeah, you're next.
No, thank you.
And David's like, not into it.
Yeah, which is threatening, but not really.
It's almost comical.
Yeah, the way he does things. I mean, like, you know, the way he danced at the rave. Like, his movements are not not scary.
I love at the rave.
He's sexy or anything.
He's dancing all weird.
Yeah.
And then he's dancing weird. And then when Alyssa Milano gets up to him, she's like, hey. And then she starts dancing.
I know. She's immediately.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre. Every time it makes me laugh.
Yeah, there's like no beat. Like, she doesn't hesitate at all
dance.
To start, like, yeah.
That's really the only other jump cut in the movie.
Where it's like, what's her conversation? She's like, hey, I saw you at the coffee place.
Yeah. Like, I wish you guys could see Jessica acting this out.
I really love it. It makes me laugh every time.
It's really good. I'll say for the moment where Reese Witherspoon doesn't intervene to try and help Margo does have Nicole's back in that moment when Logan goes after her.
Yeah.
Margo, like, jumps on him and tries to protect her friend. Mm-hmm. So, go Margo.
And then he beats her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I love the Amy Bredeman part where she's like, stop it, you motherfucker. And then they put tape over her mouth.
That's great. Mm. I like Amy Bredeman, too. She redeems herself for her slut comment.
I still like her slut comment. I think it's funny.
I don't.
It really brought that family together.
Yeah.
Ugh.
The slut comment.
The home invasion.
Yeah, it did. It was a bonding experience.
It was.
I know. I hope they move after that.
Oh my gosh. I hope so too.
Yeah, because apparently this guy who made this very secure house, who apparently did not think about the wiring and how easily...
Yeah, that's all you
cut.
Need to do.
Yeah.
With the security.
That the phone system and the security system are all hooked in together.
Yeah.
Apparently one simple wire needs to be cut.
That's right.
And it
all falls apart.
It all falls apart.
Well, you can't get in unless you have the code.
Right.
Yeah. David's got the code. I love that part, too.
Dad.
That's so good.
David has the code.
I gave it to him when he deflowered me.
And she's got to live with that forever. Lost her virginity to a psychopath.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, you're okay with it because you love Mark Wahlberg, the abuser, a.k.a. David from
Fear. I love, before he divergenizes her, he says... he says, I love you, Nicole. And then she's like, in.
Yeah.
That's what it I like
women,
it.
Women, they're so simple.
That's what you, guys, mm-hmm. that's what you should say
Three
before
lowers.
You do that. it's helpful.
That ending, the very end, is crazy. It's like the family survives, they all like hug each other, and then credits roll.
Yeah. No wasted epilogue.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
But,
zero epilogue.
But I respect it.
The weird part is it during the credits, it's like pulling back, it's like a helicopter shot.
Yeah.
And you see a boat with divers going into the water. So did they not find his body? Is the setting of a sequel? Because it's super strange that it's like police divers going in the water right off the house.
Very interesting.
He must have thrown him so hard out the window that he flew into the bay.
Well, because we see him land with a thud.
Yeah, on the ground, not in the water.
Right.
But then I wonder if, like...
There's a sequel coming out. Fear.
Fear 2.
Fear in
Cruise
hindsight.
Control.
Coming out in 2020.
I was like...
They're remaking this.
Are they?
Crazy.
Yeah.
I'll watch the remake.
But I think it's going to be reversed. I think the girl might be the David part.
So the crush, we're back at the crush. This and the crush, they both have somebody like beating themselves up to pretend it was someone else. Somebody
but we get
beating
to see it
up
in this
a car,
one, which I'm into.
Much more satisfying.
Oh yeah, now I've popped both your cherries.
Oh, gross.
Good line.
I do like that the dad is also so like it's. I mean, it's stupid.
Oh God,
and
you're such a dad defender.
I am, but he like It's brave that he finds that house and goes there and trashes it.
It's not
dumb,
brave. It's not brave it's at brave. All. I don't think so. I think it's so fucking stupid that he goes over there and then he like he gets mad because he sees that David took his picture in his daughter's underwear and,
and his daughter's underwear
and the
no
bracelet
deal.
That said "Daddy's girl" and he makes
and
it say David's
his
girl.
Face on the picture because he wants to replace him.
His room, by the way, is so creepy because he sleeps on a cot with a million pictures of him and Nicole kissing.
Yeah.
And a crucifix over his bed.
Yeah. He's a good
and
Christian.
And his mugshot.
His mugshot is taped to the wall.
Yes, his mugshot is next to pictures of them making out and doing all that. So he's
what is that? Why?
He's really proud of it.
So why fun. Can't they, when he's they're like doing the background yeah. check, why don't they get the whatever the mugshot's from? Like whatever he's been in jail for.
Don't they? Yeah. They say he's been in juvie.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, he says, remember that song and dance Nicole gave about the perfect family? Well, turns out, he had a stint in juvie.
Oh, okay.
Because I wrote down juvie in my notes because I didn't know how to spell it.
Do they take your mugshot for juvie or did he actually go to jail?
Good question.
Right.
He's only like 20, right? They say he's like 20?
Yeah.
Do you guys think he's really going to go to UW in the fall?
He's thinking about it.
I love that.
I might be a history
major. There's no fucking way he could get into the UW. By the way, I did get into the UW, just,
nice.
Just to bring it up. Yeah.
You are smarter than David.
We know for sure that Jessica is Nicole. Who
oh,
are
wait,
you
first,
guys?
Real oh. quick, I do yeah. want to say the last line of this movie is, you will forever hold your peace, which is my favorite.
Who says that? The
but Mark's
David,
like, yeah.
Mark Wahlberg says, you yeah, shall forever hold your peace before he's about to blow
yeah.
your
and then
dad's
she
head
stabs
off.
Him with a peace pipe.
Yeah.
A peace pipe.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
Sure that
they
was. Won
they
the
got a peace pipe. Yeah,
at
the carnival where she got fingered. He got her a peace pipe, nice. And then yeah. she jams
oh,
it into his
good.
Back after he says,
"You
will forever
was.
Hold your peace."
Mm-hmm. Very dangerous nice. Prize, but came in handy.
Yeah,
and I love that
a prize that I've never seen at those places.
Yeah, come to
yeah they don't
of
give
it.
Out
yeah.
weapons.
It's almost too ironic. Yeah, at a carnival, but here we are.
There's a lot of Native American stuff in Washington. I buy it. I buy it. I'm on board. That whole speech where he's like, kiss your dad goodbye. It's
oh
not easy
gosh.
giving your daughter away or whatever. And he's about to kill the dad. And she screams no. And Mark Wahlberg just goes, what?
Yeah. He's always, even after he beat up Gary, she's like, what are you doing? He's like, what? Come with me. Yeah.
I love it.
Nothing's wrong here.
I know he plays it in such a way where it's like, you know that he doesn't get it.
No yeah. remorse.
Mm-hmm. Right. No he's, remorse or awareness even.
Yeah. Well, and that yeah. line where when he's apologizing to her and he's like, no one's ever taken care of me before. Like, I always take care of other people. And she had said, like, I take care of my mom. It's like, oh, they could take care of each other.
You love him.
I am in. Until he beats up Gary, I'm on board.
Yeah.
And even a little bit after.
Definitely. A little bit after. I could yeah. I could forgive
she
one.
She forgives him.
I'm yeah. Gary. Yeah. She does. I'm Gary. Yeah. If anybody's wondering, I'm
oh,
Gary.
Oh, yeah. Tell us. Why are you Gary?
Because I'm just like this sweet boy who's down to protect and be a nice guy.
Down to protect
to Reese. Whoever, Reese or not. I've been the friend who's trying to act cool but is secretly in love with the lady the entire time and then she chooses a cool guy. I've been Gary zoned before.
That's interesting because when Amir and I had hung out a few times, I started seeing someone and you asked me to hang out again. And I said, just FYI, I would have to be as friends because I'm seeing someone. And Amir said, I'm not interested in being your friend.
Oh.
Let me know if it doesn't work out.
Yeah,
so who
what,
are all these girls that
that's
you were
when I was
friend
David.
To?
So after that, I became David. And I said that to you. And then I hit send. And then I hit a pool cue. who are you?
Wait till we let Brad go first. Actually, mine maybe is kind of a downer, so maybe we'll save Brad's
oh, okay.
for last. Which is
you're the dead dog.
So yeah, what's your? Well, yeah, I'm Nicole, obviously.
Obviously,
could not relate to her more. Probably, I've related to her most than all the films we've seen.
Very election Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah,
she's so good. This is like her one of her first big starring roles. Yeah. I mean, this is like
and Cruel Intentions a little bit like
that
this.
Was yeah, after, yeah.
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 But just as she plays that part often, that
yeah.
goody two shoes.
Yeah, she
part.
Gets divergenized in that one too.
Yeah.
yeah.
And there's also a lot of sucking kissing in that.
That's right.
Like yeah. in this one.
Yes, we just watched that one recently.
We did
too,
watch
so.
These back to back.
I think I'm Margot. On the one hand, there's like a lack of supervision, doing a lot of drugs, falling in with a bad crowd, and then that like tricky sexual assault stuff where you mm-hmm. like don't know how to feel and you don't know how to stick up for yourself and somebody doesn't necessarily believe you and I really related to her and I felt for her in this movie And then
Margo
also
and Gary. That'd
sticking
be a good
up for her
couple.
Friend. Yeah, Margo and Gary.
There you go. Well, and I think I think her sexual assault with rape, I think is the first time. Because then she is different afterwards. You see her covered up the rest of the movie.
Very interesting.
So I think, like, in the beginning, she's all, like, sexy, like,
right,
but she doesn't
like
really understand
the
repercussions of it.
Yeah, or, like, it's...
What posing in Playboy or whatever would actually feel like.
Right. It might be, like, we talked about a little bit, like, that American Beauty thing, you know, but beating herself up. And then also, like, I know what it's like to be in a friendship like that where it's so intense and you're so dependent on the other person, and when they don't want to talk to you, it's like... they've killed you, you know, like her
she's all alone.
Pain and desperation in that scene. Yeah.
Who are you?
I think we've established I am the dad.
Dad Brad.
This is all mirroring life because, like, Amir just said that Margo and Gary should be together, and we're the Margo and Gary.
And Nicole and the dad.
Yeah, Nicole really is just looking for her father figure.
The movie starts out with her taking a shower and, the mother saying, save some water for your dad.
Right.
Ah, I don't even remember that.
Weird. Yeah. That's a weird opening.
It is. That's right.
I think the scariest part to me is Nicole's sexual assault in the bathroom at the mall. Where it's just so public, where he breaks in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And she's like, help. And then there's like this old lady standing there.
Right. And he's already gone. So
he has that creepy line where he's like, don't listen to me with your ears or your eyes. Listen to me with your vagina.
Oh, yeah.
And he grabs her. Oh, it's so that whole thing is so... That would definitely be point of no return for me.
And even you have your limits with Mark Wahlberg.
That's where finally she's like, okay, I'm not attracted to
him. Keep in mind, he's already
anymore.
Killed Gary at this point.
She doesn't know that.
Doesn't she?
No, she finds out when Margo comes over that night and then they come.
Yeah.
I did know that, but I was okay with it.
What horrible timing on her part to come over and say.
You know what? Gary should not have run through.
Gary's dead. Also, apparently, these guys are right behind me and they're trying to kill us now.
Yeah. For a moment, I was like, is she the decoy and they're all going to get in?
I do love that, too. She's like a little bit of a misdirect when the doorbell rings. You think it's them. Oh, and the iconic, so let me in the fucking house.
The what?
Salami on your fucking house.
Oh, yeah. That's great. I heard salami in the fucking house.
Not...
And I was like, what part?
Yeah, apparently was improvised by him.
Yeah, he improvised that line. And
it
is that
and
character.
And was cut. It was not a part of the original edit.
Oh.
And it was some,
it's like
I guess,
a producer or somebody producer, was like, where'd that line go? And the director was like, it was stupid. And he was like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Wow, yeah.
Put it back in. And it kind of, it's like, it is one of the iconic lines of that movie.
And the jump cut when he hangs up the phone. Where did that go? Put it back in. All right, I quit.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the roller coaster scene and the so let me in your fucking house, I think, are the most memorable parts.
And Nicole Forever.
Nicole Forever.
Forever, like he's a 12-year-old girl writing it on his peachy folder.
And but it's also like
I think
a homemade
he did Nicole,
tattoo.
Yeah. And then he's like, this really hurts.
I keep going.
How can I shorten this?
Oh, why not just leave it at Nicole?
Because it's forever.
Yeah.
He's not going to love anybody else.
It's heart, then the letter four, then EVA. Like he's etching it into a bunk at a Jewish summer camp.
But he cuts it into him with a knife, and then he puts pen ink over it.
Yeah,
I mean,
didn't remember
brutal.
The ink until seeing it again.
Ugh.
Yeah.
He's hardcore. I'm into it.
Or maybe it's why he didn't get into UW, because he was like, I spell things
poorly. He doesn't
poorly.
Know how to spell.
Yeah, he doesn't know.
There's a lot of fours.
Yeah.
Just the letters or the numbers in his.
I feel like we really need to get Jessica some help.
Why? This movie is exciting.
Is Brad hitting you? I know he's hitting you. I know he is.
I know it was him.
You're wearing 2 gallons of
That's
makeup.
Just going to make her come to me even faster.
Oh, yeah. When she comes down to her dad and there's just like hair over her face.
Yeah. Oh, Reese.
She's great. This introduced me to her. I didn't know her before this movie.
Yeah,
I don't think many people did.
She did Man in the Moon.
Interesting.
But then after this, she blew up. She did like Pleasantville, Election, and Cruel Intentions, I think, were all the same year.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's insane. I think my intro to her was Cruel Intentions because I was obsessed with Sarah Michelle Gellar, so I would see anything she was in.
Oh, she's so... We watched it the other night. It holds up.
I want to rewatch it. Have you seen the original?
No, because the Reese Witherspoon's not in it.
All right, Brad has nothing to promote. Amir, do you want to say anything about your social channels?
Just follow me on Twitter. I changed my username. It's now just my last name, Blumenfeld. You have to follow me. I can't lose followers over this name change. I'm already losing sleep.
Yeah, I can't lose followers and sleep.
Those are the two most important things in the world.
Do you guys want to tell people why
they... People can follow me in real life if they want.
That's cool.
So just your
works
address
in Santa Clarita.
Real quick?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Do you guys both want to tell people why they should give us 5 stars and subscribe?
Because it helps get the viewership up, and it's all about listenership. We got to get this show bigger. We got to find an audience. We got to turn this into its own ecosystem. Spinoffs, new podcasts, live shows, enterprising, merch. This is just the beginning. It's 2020. The more people support the show, the faster it will grow.
Thank you. That was beautiful.
I hear 5 stars is the best, so do that.
That's right.
And subscribe. Cool. And you can follow us on Instagram at He's Right Behind You Podcast.
Happy February.
Yeah, our next episode will be It Follows, so check it out if you want to listen along. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
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 Good work, Brad.